Yay! All right, Miss
Okay.
Linda, here we go. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Paradigm Shifters. And I'll tell you what, the paradigm is shifting with swashbuckling activity these days. My guest is Linda Sherman, who's a wonder of astrological and political stuff. And we've talked off and on for years. I know many of you just love her. But we've had a horrible time with technology suddenly being, in quotes, improved behind our backs, and then we haven't been able to get in there. But welcome to the show, Linda. We're going to keep a sense of humor, and we're going to have a great discussion about justice, honesty, evolution, and you and I. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Veronica. It's a pleasure to be on your show. And I feel that of all the gifts that the Creator gave us, probably the best thing, especially in this era, is a sense of humor.
I think we've needed it.
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I lost you for a minute.
Okay, I know why. So I was trying to take the headset off, but you know what? That's the wrong thing to do.
I
I know. Well, I gotta say, both of us are more than 25, and both of us stuck through this process of trying to figure out how the heck to meet each other in the airwaves, and here we are.
humor. Yes.
Thank heaven and good sense of humor and good stick-itiveness. Okay. So welcome everyone. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and paradigms are shifting with swashbuckling these days. My guest and dear friend has been waiting while she and I struggled with the changes in computer language and our setups on our computer. Oh my goodness, but we're finally meeting in person over this not quite in person system, but we're going to talk to you about politics and astrology and you and I. Welcome to the show, my dear Linda Sherman.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here, Veronica. Always is great to talk with you.
And you too. And like you said earlier, we needed to have a good sense of humor. We'd be tearing our hair right now.
Yes, that's correct.
But
It's the
actually
gift of the gods.
talking about politics, it is worth tearing your hair over that these days, is it not?
It certainly is, but when you look back in the history, and especially the history of the USA, things have been like this in past decades and past centuries, that a democracy is a real, what I would consider to be a wonderful thing, but it's a crapshoot. I
Well,
mean,
take
you
the crap
just
away,
don't.
will ya?
Yes. Stick with the chute. These are things we have a mass media today that just takes everything to grab your eyeballs and your ears to get you going. But no, we're in a very, very crucial time. As an astrologer, I can say this safely. In human history, we're at the end of several great ages, the most well-known one being we're ending the Piscean age and going into the age of Aquarius. And the transit of Pluto that's just gone into Aquarius. Pluto, a very powerful planet having to do with death and rebirth, destruction and resurrection, is just tapping into Aquarius briefly, goes back in to the old sign of Capricorn, which we've been living with since 2008, and then goes back into Aquarius in early 2024. It's kind of going back and forth between those signs. So what we're dealing with is an interim period in time of old systems and old ideas and old ideologies and everything from the past that are centuries old, having to change. And humans have never been that good at this. We're better at changing our technology than we are changing our personal psychology, our spiritual direction, or how we feel emotionally. And that, to me, is the biggest problem. We can solve so many problems today. Aquarius is the greatest sign of invention. We're going to be making breakthroughs. As I said on your show before, Veronica, we're going to have nuclear fusion, and we will have at least one or two chambers up with extended ignition to produce this endless amount of non-polluting energy that uses no fossil fuel by 2026. And this is going to revolutionize, going to end the age of fossil fuel. And we're going to have breakthroughs in medicine and health and in so many areas, and of course in space. And the James Webb Telescope, what it has been showing us about the nature of space and the universe, and what the physicists have been discovering, is throwing out all our laws about time and space, saying, forget everything we thought we knew. This is really the dawning of this age. And I have to say, as painful as some of these transitions are for us at this time, this change is inevitable. And I am optimistic about what lies ahead, because in 2025, 2026, we have an array of planetary changes. Neptune will go into Aries, Uranus into Gemini. Of course, Pluto will be in Capricorn, all trining and sextiling one another, which in astrology lingo, that means all those planets are cooperating to bring about massive changes and solutions to the major problems that we have. So overall, we're going through a painful, it's sort of like having major surgery and taking out things or getting rid of infections and growths and things. You have the surgery and you feel worse after the surgery than you felt before you went into it. But in time, you heal and you feel better. You become a new person. You're restored to health. And this is analogous to the cycle that we are in at this present time.
Well, let me interrupt you just for a moment. I mean, because I really appreciate what you're saying, and it gives me a lot of optimism. But I find that with the political situations going on right now, one of the issues I ask a lot about is deception and lying and all of that. Is that going to evolve with the influence of, for example, Aquarius coming up and the transformation? Is it going to happen in people, in groups of people?
Well, as far as deception and lying is concerned, there's different ways of looking at this, because people have always deceived each other and lied to one another. You know, through the ages.
Well, I don't like that.
And I don't like it either. I would rather get the truth and take it right smack in the face than lie about it or ignore it or put it away, because the consequences are very seriously negative if we do that. The issue is, people, in order to get attention, make money, or get elected, will use the media in every way they can to create fear, to create lies which people throw at their opponents or at the people that they disagree with. We created a mass media in our culture since the beginning of radio and television and the internet and so on, without taking the responsibility for it to be a place where truth is told, where there is responsible journalism, and people are responsible. But I want to say, all of the misuse of the media and by con men and by crazy people and everything, we're beginning to see through that. There's only a smaller segment of the population that is looking for cults to join, to drag them in. They're looking for some kind of person to save them without them having to save themselves. and they're willing to buy into the lying and the misinformation and the wrongheadedness that is there. And that's an emotional need on the part of certain people. And we have had that in our culture. I mean, look at the Jim Jones cult. Look at the cult where they committed mass suicide back in 1997. And there have been this tendency for humans to get involved in cults for a long time. And so that people who want to get into positions of power will use that psychological tendency in order to hook people in. My feeling is that most people here in America are leaving that now. They're beginning to see through it. They're beginning to recognize this. And the small percentage of people who still want to do that are still going to want to do it for their own reasons.
Well, let me ask, is there something pushing us to be more, what would you call it, self-realizing, more individual realization, which would change our way of interpreting what needs to happen?
Yeah, I think so. Veronica, I really believe that is the case. But I feel there's one big factor here. Each one of us in our lives, no matter what age or stage we are, we've got to say to ourselves and to the universe, I am ready for these truths. I want to be on the pathway to higher consciousness and understanding, and I will recognize that when it is productive, when it's instructive, when it helps other people, when it contributes to the health of the planet, when it contributes to the ideal of democracy, when it contributes to respecting one another and acting civilized. When you see those things in effect, you know you're going in a very positive and healthy direction. But we've got to say, help me, universe. We've got to open ourselves to that. It's not just going to fall on us automatically. We've got to, you and I, all of us have to say, okay, I'm ready for this.
Okay, so let me ask you another thing. Are we not influenced vibrationally by what's going on in the universes? I know astrology is fascinating, and I kind of think of it that way in a simplistic way. But also, aren't the frequencies moving up all throughout the universes? And when they move up, do they not impact us in terms of awakening?
I think so. My feeling is these frequencies or these opportunities for us to tap in to something that's higher and healthier and better, definitely those are there. It's not that they're not there. It's that people have to decide that they're going to participate. I still say the big thing are the choices that we make. Are we going to choose to live in these past notions and ideas which have dragged us down for centuries and eons? Or are we going to open ourselves to these frequencies? I do believe that they are there. It's sort of like you got to open your eyes in order to see the sunrise.
And you got to be prepared to change yourself and not hang on to what you think makes you secure, right?
Exactly true. And this is the preparation, these philosophies and ideas that have been in the discussion for philosophers, the great religions, the world of politics and power and everything through the ages. I think the biggest problem that we have is that people want to hang on to those old things because they're so scared of letting go.
Right.
That they're very frightened that if they open themselves to something else, that they will lose their grip or they will cease to exist.
Or they'll lose their place in line.
Yes, exactly. There's a whole different way of looking at reality, at time and space, at the human condition, at our society, and the use of the technologies that we have, that our minds, and not only open minds, but we've got to have open hearts.
Open hearts, yeah. You know, I was thinking about the Rothschild and those beings that are supposed to have been reborn over and over again in these higher positions, are they being influenced? Will they always be the same no matter how high the frequencies go? Do you know anything about that?
No, not really. Reincarnation and that notion is not my specialty. I have a very open mind to it. But I do think that ideas, whether they come in the form of the Rothschilds or the this or the that or the other thing, whether the ideas are something that people choose to understand or choose to implement or not. And so if a person is using an abusive massive amounts of power, they want to control the financial and economic situation. I think those old families like the Rothschilds that are still around in the banking industry are not nearly as powerful as the CEOs of J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs and Bank of America and all these things that have giant hedge funds. And the bank, the global banking industry is no longer controlled by one family, one traditional family, or these old lines. You know, it's but the use and abuse of power and thinking that you can accumulate this and not share it. I mean, the biggest issue I have is that the bottom 80% of this country is losing its wealth. The 1% is controlling 80% of the wealth in this country. And when you have that kind of inequality of wealth through the ages, and all the revolutions, even our revolution, the American Revolution had something to do with this. The British were controlling our wealth and taxing us. And the French Revolution, it dumped the monarchy and created a massive revolution. They wound up killing each other in the process, but it was because they had a severe famine. Nobody had any money. The French went broke subsidizing the American Revolution. Then they were struck with a famine. Pretty soon, they were beheading their own monarchy in Russia. The Communist Revolution. They overthrew and assassinated their monarchy because there were huge, massive inequities. And it goes, and the same thing with the Communist Revolution in China. All these revolutions that wound up with malignant dictators at the top, sad to say, they had these revolutions because of these inequalities. Now, I feel we have just passed through the second American Revolution here. As well, but it's been in a milder sense, but there was an attempt to overthrow our government, and the discontent on the part of people who wanted to get rid of the establishment and overthrow the government really was legitimate because they lost their wealth, they lost their standing, yet they didn't. They prefer to attack immigrants or people of different races, people of different ethnicities, people of different religions, and go into a hate-mongering situation rather than investigate and say, how did our wealth get into the hands of these people that run the banking system? Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of conspiracy stuff that was made up that deviated people from really honestly and intelligently look at how we made laws and how the people with all the money paid for people's political campaigns and made laws and created conditions so that that wealth would go into the hands and the pockets of that upper 1%.
So it was like the word gerrymandering. Gerrymandering for states, but it's not just that. It's the way they corral thinking in these packages of getting. You know, it's just
that's
like
a good way of putting it. A very good way of putting it.
Thank you. Makes me crazy because I wonder about astrology, or not astrology, but the advancement of the frequencies and of the potential for the earth. It would seem to me that there should be some opening in more people in terms of having a bigger heart. That is also happening, is it not?
Yeah, I think that very often, Veronica, the problem is that so many people who are in the limelight are out there in positions of power and everything, they don't necessarily reflect so many people who you may not know who are doing wonderful things, that are doing saving lives and educating children and giving themselves to others. To me, it's a lot of the little people out there that have the biggest hearts and that are willing to sacrifice certain amount of comfort for the greater good. And I do feel that it may be from the inside out or the bottom up that this revolution takes place, that, that all the visible people out there are not necessarily involved with it. I think it's going to be inevitable, and that people can choose. I'm going to open my mind and my heart and look at the greater good and the best for myself and others. I'm going to get on board with this. I'm going to help to increase health care, education. Education, have we ever failed in this country?
Oh, my, it's just shocking, isn't it? It's
I mean, it is shocking. I'm 82 years old, and the education I had in high school was so superior to what most people are getting today. It just, they took civics and political science out of the classroom. They hardly have any history at all. And so many school districts are so poor, they don't have the money to pay for their schools. And more teachers are leaving. And we have, without educating, well-educating and beautifully educating our young people, we don't really have a future in this country. No country has a future without that. So I think we're going, with Uranus going into Gemini, a wonderful sign, by the way.
Oh, I'm glad.
That sign, we are going to transform education, and things will change. I believe in this, these planetary pictures that are telling me to be optimistic, but not everybody on this planet is going to get there. Unfortunately, there are going to be whole nations that will be underwater or total deserts. There are going to be places, the climate catastrophes are at right so much immigration here. Why? Because the climate has crashed and the governments crashed in this sense. And you know, these people are immigrating because they have no other choice if they're going to survive. They're leaving these countries; they can no longer live there. And this is just an escalating situation. And where you happen to be located, if you have inland to a place of elevation where there's farmland and fresh water, those are the paradigms I've talked about in my books and newsletters over and over again. We've got to be in a location that is sustainable, and because we have already created inevitable climate catastrophe. Even if we stopped using every bit of fossil fuel tomorrow, these things are inevitable. They've already been put into place. It's really too late for millions of people. So you have that going on. And then you have
a
people,
lot of tornadoes out there that never were in those areas before, as well as the stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Look at the South and the Midwest in this country, what they have been through. There have always been tornadoes, but the severity of them and the frequency of them. The same last summer, we had two major hurricanes that hit Florida on both coasts. And we're going to see more of this. They're going to be more severe. They're going to be more frequent. So where you happen to decide you're locating yourself is going to depend on whether you can stand there and be able to survive and set up something substantial, economies and networks that we can help each other. But I really do feel that in spite of all that, not everybody on this planet will be able to move into this new realm. I mean, many of us are going to pass away. Our time has come. Not everybody, but for those of us that happen to be alive at this point, I think that if we open our minds and hearts and we're located in a place that's not a high-risk area with climate, and the environmentalists and the oceanographers will tell you where to go. Mm-hmm. I've had these locations in my first book, What Next, because I listened to the scientists. And we are going to have to create different ways of farming. This agribusiness, giant mass agriculture, is not going to work anymore. We're going to have local gardening and farming. And the way we live has got to be healthier. Our food is extremely unhealthy. We have a major problem with obesity in this nation.
Oh, my gosh,
It's real. I've never seen. I'm old enough to remember when things were different, and that's. I can see the contrast in relief because we're eating very, very.
I don't mean to interrupt you, except I think very often when I see how much obesity there is, they're essentially starving, and they're starving because there's nothing in the food. You know,
there's nothing but calories, fat, refined sugar, and also chemicals that get rid of your gut flora. And the medical people, the scientists, are finding out that a major key to our health in every way is the gut flora. Right. And when we have antibiotics and hormones and chemicals that are in the water and in the food system, it's destroying the very components which are the foundation for physical health. So this is what has happened. People have made a lot of money with this stuff.
It's always about money. There's another thing I wanted to bring up is the parallel here. What do you think about this? I go, we talk about the tornadoes and the dangerous weather eruptions and so on. And I keep going, it's like people are undergoing them. And that's why we're having so many shootings and stuff. I go, oh, this stuff is moving through. You see what I mean? It's like a kind of a desperate.
There is a parallel between the actual physical weather and the psychological condition of people. There are so many lost souls, so many people who do not see any place for themselves in this society that are suffering severe depression and not getting the help that they need. There's a whole pile up of reasons for that, but they can buy on the market assault weapons and military grade guns, however they want, depending on where they're located. And this is a big issue now. Democrats and Biden are trying to pass much stricter gun laws, and there's resistance on the other side of this. I don't know why there's that resistance. This idea that all of us should pack a gun, we should all now start just shooting each other, that people should go to school, that our children should be packing guns in case somebody comes in and starts a mass shooting. Is this the direction you want to go? It's terrible. And I think the psychological part of this, so many people are just feel devastated, discouraged. They don't see themselves finding a decent job or a decent life or anything. Just don't, in this world, they cannot feel or see anything that works for them. So they just kind of go crazy and go into schools and shoot people, or go into malls and shoot people.
And look at all the people that are living out on the streets in cities that are rich. I'm like,
oh, yes, we have an epidemic of homelessness. It's worse than it was in the Great Depression of the 1930s.
It's like Les Miserables, isn't it? Isn't it like those days?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is like Les Miserables.
But that's the epitome of hopelessness. When you see it out there, I go, oh, my God, what are we doing to people? We have more information and less information than ever before.
Well, we have less relevant information to our health, our well-being, how the economy really should work for people, as opposed to, again, when it's all sucked up into the top of that food chain, anything that would go for health care or education or the creation of new jobs is gone for most of those people. They don't, and on a personal level, they don't have lost their way. There's a lot of misery in families, a lot of cruelty, a lot of abuse that has been going on that gives results, this kind of result. It's complicated, and yet in some ways it's quite simple. We have lost our way. The old ways are no longer work. You can't have a high-tech society without creating jobs that work. Mm-hmm. And the idea in unfettered capitalism. Now, I am a believer. I think capitalism is the best system modified by social support systems. This is what they have in Scandinavia, and they have the highest standard of living in the world in these countries. Mm-hmm. This is what, but instead of profits at all costs, and the billionaires should get away with not paying any taxes into the system, which would lift all boats. That's what we have right now.
Yeah. So what is the astrological, is there an astrological description or a way of describing why it got so extreme?
Well, there are several things that have gone on. One, I've talked about since 2008, we've had Pluto in the sign of Capricorn. And when Pluto transited Capricorn in the past, you had the Protestant Reformation in Europe and a threat to not only the Catholic Church, but the monarchies. There were huge revolutions going on in that. And remember that in the 1500s, religions were very, very powerful, and the Catholic Church was as powerful as the monarchies were. So you had a disestablishment of the establishment. Then the next time Pluto came around into Capricorn was the American Revolution. So we were at that. We got our Pluto return recently. So we have been going through a second kind of revolutionary vibe of who are we? What is democracy? Where are we going? Mm-hmm. But in a new world where we have all these different ethnic groups, religions, races, and the sexes, and we believe that all those people should have an equal shot now. To get rid of these old hierarchies where we were enslaved or abused or marginalized, we're demanding, which I think is a great thing, we're demanding equality of opportunity, we're demanding to be heard, and all of these, and this is very revolutionary because throughout human history there's always been rigid hierarchies. And there's been rulers and the in-between and then the enslaved. And that's been true throughout human history. And it's been run by war and massive destruction. Now we're in a time Pluto comes around again and wishes to unseat the establishment. But you have to know your reasons for unseating them and who they really are and why you're unseating them. Now we get to Pluto in Aquarius, where it's going now. And this was when we won the Revolutionary War and the French Revolution took place and the industrial/science revolution took place. That's pretty impressive under that last transit. And that's where I think we're going, but in a new way, in a more expanded and wiser and more understanding way. That's where I think we're headed.
You mean
we're
like
going
the industrial
into a
revolution, new ways of doing things?
Yes, and we're really going to try to make democracy work. Our democracy has been under threat. The world at large has been electing horrible, malignant dictators, and we have gone in that direction here, and we have to figure out what really makes democracy work, and I think we'll do it. I think that we will, but it has to do with decent, civilized behavior and people talking to each other on a platform where they can debate their differences in a way that says, I don't hate you, I just have a different point of view, let's talk this through. Right now, this Pluto in Capricorn has been just throw everybody, blow them up, shoot them, bomb them, whatever you want. Just don't listen to anybody. Just be nasty and mean and horrible, you know.
But isn't there an underlying fear or panic in that? Why are people so afraid, you know?
I think there's a very big thing in the human psyche that we have to deal with. Because humans, we have a biology that is still, we're still a predator-prey species, eat or be eaten, you know. We still have that component of the reptile. We have that reptilian portion of our brain,
we sure
and
do.
We may upgrade it or put ice cream on top of it, but it, underneath, it's still a primary motivator. And this is the part of us that really needs to be changed, and it goes very deeply into our psyches. And I feel the great religions, such as Buddhism and Christianity, these religions did preach an absolute love, an equality of all people, that
looking
we can
after
all
the
gain,
poor and helping, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that we all had access to enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And love and understanding was that kind of wisdom. So that wisdom has been around. It's interesting, I was watching a channel I like to watch on cable called the Story Channel, because it really has great documentaries on history. And during the Easter season, they had a lot of talk about Passover and what the Jews went through and how they were saved and, you know, got out of Egypt, you know. And then they talked about, of course, Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. They were talking about these religions. And one of the professors of theology said, you know, the problem with Jesus Christ and that religion is his ministry was a failure. We never got this. We didn't get it about absolute love, equality of everybody in the eyes of the Creator.
And I keep learning that absolute love is healing. It'll fix things for people.
Exactly. When we're in that mode, it's amazing. That's when the miracles take place. But in a sense, it was a failure because people didn't get that, and Christianity was inevitably taken over by the Roman Empire and then became the Roman Catholic Church and just imitated the hierarchical control of people through the thousands of years, you know, for the past 2,000 years. And the real essence of these teachings, very similar in a sense to Buddhism as well, and even ancient scrolls involving Judaism about this notion that as humans, we are all made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And I can make a leap now into saying in the modern world that all that is the universe itself may be consciousness itself, and that we are all created out of this conscious universe that is, in a sense, creating us out of itself. Mm-hmm. So when we say we're sons and daughters of God, and this, we literally are created out of the cosmos. We know you and I and everybody are made out of cosmic dust. That's why I think astrology is so relevant, because it connects us to the motions of the planet in our particular solar system and the constellations. We still have a consciousness connection to the cosmos itself that we are not that aware of, but the ancients did know about it because they were making these observations.
And, but it's our and placenta, isn't it? It's our placenta.
Yes, exactly. That in a sense, we are all one, even though we're expressed as an infinite number of interesting individuals. We can be individuals and have different appearances and talents and abilities and experiences and still be of the same conscious substance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
And when we recognize that, we stop beating each other up and kicking each other down in a ruthlessly competitive predator-prey civilization. When we come to that realization, ironically, the top-level scientists, physicists at the very highest level are looking at a world like that.
Isn't that wonderful? So I have this other question. It's not different. It's just an aspect of it all, which is, you know, I'm an intuitive, and I keep seeing that a lot of the systems that we count on are going to come undone. A lot of them, I just see this as a vision. They're going to come undone.
Yes, because they weren't any good.
Exactly. But here's the other thing they keep showing me is that there are people, almost like pods of people that are going to grow massively into different levels of consciousness and different ways of doing business, etc. Not everybody, but they show it like pods of people, and they show the rising consciousness in and amongst some of these groups. And I have no references for that yet, but I thought I'd throw it at you and wonder.
Honestly, I think you're right. It's always been like this. There's always been people that have moved forward and outward who have been the creators, the inventors, the philosophers, and there are many people who just aren't, or they're not ready for that at
and
this
don't
point.
Want it. What happened during, I mean, I think this is a fun question of you. What was the Renaissance like? What was going on in the skies at that time? Was it?
Well, you know,
I
we look,
think of it
yeah,
as
we,
a happier time. Was it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, we had many great artists and astronomers, and all kinds of things were going on in Europe, mainly in Italy, more than any other country. The Roman Empire had long dissolved and broke up in what we call the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, and Europe became very fragmented and. And during the Renaissance, if you're looking at Europe as an example where most of these things, there was a reconstitution of the art and the philosophy of the Greeks. If you look at some of the greatest leap forwards in thinking in history, it has been the Greeks. It's been Plato, Aristotle, Demosthenes, Socrates. These people that seem to have popped up out of nowhere with such wisdom and understanding and invented geometry and science and astronomy and philosophy. They were into me. It was positively amazing. There are these pods. You talk about pods of people, and I honestly think also that the founders of America, Washington and Jefferson and Adams and Franklin, these were a pod of people very similar in a way to the Greek philosophers that rose in a certain period of time and happened to kind of accidentally gather with one another. And it's very often people, and I think we're in for some new pods to come into being in this time that lies ahead, with people with advanced knowledge and wisdom and understanding that has it may even re-examine some of the wisdom from the past. But the Renaissance in Europe was bringing back a lot of the art and re-examining the math and the astronomy and the philosophies of the Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they called it a Renaissance, which is a rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just really interesting. So what was an astrological thing about that time, or do you know?
Well, again, I have it on my newsletter that's online, soothsayer.com, and I have a big essay about Pluto in Aquarius and the times that we went, the time before that, 1543 and the 1540s, Copernicus announced his observation that the Earth revolves around the Sun. And then the more recent, in the late 1700s, you had the American Revolution, the French Revolution, and the Scientific and Industrial Revolution, moving societies away from the rule of monarchs and bringing forth the notion of democracy. You see, each time Pluto has transited Aquarius, we have just had amazing observations. One sort of introduced the Renaissance, and the other introduced democracy in America. And I have to say that this is a time period that's going to be, I think, even more significant than those two prior transits of Pluto. He goes through all the signs. It takes him 240 years to go through all the signs. So he's in a sign, you don't see him changing signs very often, not within lifetimes.
Hmm.
I think an important notion or idea, but along with that, we have Neptune going into Aries and Uranus going into Gemini. Now, again, Uranus was in Gemini again at the time of the American Revolution, and it was there in World War II and the ending of World War II. And now it's returning that position. And in World War II, we dropped the atomic bomb on Japan.
Well, that wasn't
and
good.
So that, no, but it was a breakthrough in nuclear energy and understanding, splitting the atom and going through that process and the Manhattan Project. And also the United States had the biggest, fastest developing and the most amazing economy in the world at that time. So I still think that we've got the potential to be leaders in the world in this new thing. But we've got to get over our fears of everybody else. China is the big deal right now. Pluto is going over its moon and ascendant. China is the next giant. It's the next giant economy and military. So the U.S. and China are going to have to find a way to get along with each other and continue some kind of economic involvement without us feeling that they are stepping all over us and have taken our jobs away. Mm-hmm. That's our own fault in that process. You see, we have to rethink how do economies operate? How do we create a better playing field for everyone? How do we educate people so that they can keep up with these with the kind of economy that we're in?
But those questions are influenced by Uranus?
Yes, Uranus and Gemini, we're going to figure out how to constantly train and retrain ourselves and how to figure out how we can live productively on the planet and what our choices are. We're not all going to be computer engineers. By the way, with the advent of AI, most software developers are now obsolete because AI, in and of itself, mm-hmm. Is so massive that most of the people you used to have jobs doing, say, data analysis and all of that. All of that is going to become obsolete. So what do you do with that kind of obsolescence?
They need to do something. They need to be working.
Exactly. They need to be working. They need to do productive work and get paid for it. Now, my feeling is one of the obvious things right now that I've talked about on shows and in my newsletters is we need electricians, we need plumbers. AI isn't going to do all that.
Right.
We need healthcare people. We need also farmers that we really can make a decent living at farming instead of struggling. We need people at those fundamental in the trades and in not industrialized farming, but organic farming. We need architects. We need to build new kinds of buildings. We need to live in different ways. We need people who can go out there hands-on and do things in what we would call the real world instead of the cloud.
Right. And transportation, all kinds of transportation wonders.
Yes, it's interesting. Here where I live in Ithaca, they're going to have a tram, which is a car that goes on a high wire through the air from one location to another. I don't know if you've ever ridden a tram. I think they have them in the Seattle area. And they
I don't remember where, but I remember I have done, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I know the tram between Manhattan and Roosevelt Island, I had ridden that many, many years ago. They're doing that kind of transportation. It's all electric, and it's not going to have anything to do with driving around on the ground or emitting fossil fuel, you know, dirty stuff. They're going to construct that here in Ithaca, New York, along with all these other sustainable environmental programs that are going on here in the state of New York and in our area.
Wow, that's exciting. But you also mentioned at the beginning of this conversation that we were exploring a lot of things, including the framework of time. Do you remember
Yes,
what that means?
I really
does that
think.
mean we're going to change times? Like, can we, you know what I mean? Well, go ahead and talk.
Well, you know, you and I are probably thinking exactly the same way, and neither one of us really fully understand it. That we're examining it, we're looking at it, but the physicists at the top of this intellectual food chain, so to speak, at the world that they're looking at now, in for instance, the theory of entanglement, of separating atoms that continue a coordinated spin with each other, even though they're pulled way apart in different locations, they're still coordinated, they're still talking to each other, there's all kinds of things going on at that level, which
right.
suggests that time and space are not what we think they are at all. And I'm still very much caught up in the old paradigm. I get up at a certain time in the morning. I get dressed and I have breakfast and I'm living in this. But I will say this, and you probably can relate to this, Veronica, yourself. As we get older, it seems as if time literally goes faster and faster and faster, so that our concept of time and moving through time seems to be very, very changing. It's almost like I'm in a time warp.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely.
So I think many of us, particularly when we attain a certain age, but even today the youngsters are telling me this, so much change is going on the planet right now, with human society, with technology, with everything that's good. So much is happening that it seems as if time has speeded up, our concept of moving in time and space internally with most of us is changing anyway.
We used to relate it to what was going on around us, but that doesn't seem to work these days.
No, it's so hard to grab on to something and stay there for a while or stabilize yourself. It seems everything that you grab on to is swimming away from you.
Well, let's go back for a sec on something that's kind of fascinating. Will we be doing time travel when we're doing traveling on the road trip, you know? Any kind of normal, mundane travel?
You know, the whole idea of time travel is that an intact person, a body or a conscious body, can move from one historic era to another intact, you know. So I'm not so sure about that. I think if we travel in time, we're not going to remain intact while doing so. And it is an area that's so beyond anything that I can conceive of that I just have an interest in reading what these high-level physicists have to say about it. And they're talking about that now. No one has gotten there to that point. But how they can travel through the space/time, that time is actually space and space is time. There isn't really a division there. There's so many concepts, so much thinking, so much understanding.
One of them is knowing that there's so much movement in amongst molecules. And then when people talk about walking through walls, my comprehension, which is naive and probably innocent, is that they learn how to go between the molecular motion, but
Well, I think you have to change your physical organism. Beam me up, Scotty. Star Trek. All
but
your
I want
molecules
to play,
are,
don't
are
you?
Disassembled here and reassembled there, you know. But all these things, I think, are possible because I love. love all the science fiction books and movies and things because most of this stuff is becoming fact.
No.
You know, it's just what you saw in Star Trek, you know, talking to somebody on a screen directly. Well, that's fact now. We do it all the time. And the notion of us somehow keeping a consciousness, an individual consciousness intact, but dissembling and reassembling our basic physical makeup in another time or in another space, I would say anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it reminds me of the Renaissance, the idea of a Renaissance. It's like bringing things forward, but also having a totally new way of handling them, right?
I absolutely agree. I think the Renaissance that we're moving into now is a Renaissance that is led by science. But science is a technology that measures and quantifies things. So science is a movement to try to understand something, which is the attainment of that movement. So the more instrumentation that we get, the James Webb telescope, what it is showing us is so mind-boggling. And then we get microscopes and things. We're going to see electronic microscopes at the deepest subatomic level, and how the behavior of atoms and molecules is at that level. Our instrumentation and our ability to see that and look at it is what science really is, examining it and quantifying it and looking. But this level of physics we're talking about is really hard to quantify. It's like looking at something in motion. It's there 1 minute and gone the next.
And also the rapport between the mind and all of that, that's got to induce huge changes in our mental capacity, does it not? I mean, just
I agree with you. You've said it, Veronica. Right now, I know that I don't have that mental capacity to deal at that level. At this stage of my life and who I am, I do not have that kind of genius. New people coming into the world, new children being born into the world, are probably going to be born with capacities and the development of those capacities that we never had. It's going to be an evolutionary leap.
Yeah, it's like little kids with technology know exactly what to do at 2 years old.
Right. It's like a leap. In evolution, we're going to be as far from what we are now as we originally were from, let's say, the apes, out of which Darwin thinks that we evolved. We're going to be that far in our development. At what it means to be human is going to be different than what it is today.
Okay, so let's jump back into the period of philosophy, Greek philosophy, and that sort of thing. Would you say that they had, some of those beings, had a big leap as well?
I do. I think that for some reason there are these conclaves of people, like Plato and Aristotle and Demosthenes and Socrates, people that in Athens primarily, that somehow were born and grew up and came up with these phenomenal ideas about the world. I was looking at this story about the Antikythera device that they have found that is probably over 3,000 years old. That was an astronomical timekeeping device with major gears and everything else before anyone ever thought, metal that no one ever had, that measured exactly the variable motion of the moon, the sun, the calendar year. It measured the motions of Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn 3,000 years ago.
Wow.
So, you know, I really think that people who were, in a sense, this evolutionary leap in capacity, in brilliance, have appeared in little spots throughout human history.
Well, that's like those pods I keep thinking about, right?
Yes, exactly. Pods. That's a very good, a very good idea. And the point is, there should be more of the pod people, in a sense. And that just big decisions are going to have to be made by these people that have this wisdom and this understanding and the advanced training and all of this that goes with it. These are, in a sense, evolutionary leaps. And they've happened before, and they're about to happen again.
I think they're about to happen again. I think it's really... I can feel it in my blood, you know, somehow. Do you feel like that sometimes? You just go, oh.
I do.
Really? Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. So maybe when people call you for a reading, you can tell who's in a pod.
Yeah. Well, I can't use astrology to predict somebody like that. Astrology has a lot to do with potential. It has to do with issues and themes that come up in people's lives. And I've been practicing this for so long and hopefully have been able to help and guide people to help them make good decisions, to understand what lies ahead. But there isn't anything about innate inferiority or superiority or anything else that's in astrology, really.
Okay, but there is the relationship to the changing waves and frequencies.
Exactly. Yes. Some people will have charts that catch this. It's like a butterfly catcher or whatever. Some people have charts in which they have planetary pictures that those planets are going to land on. So certainly the themes of those planets are going to turn the lights on for those people and bring out opportunities. For those particular people that happen to be their planets happen to be in contact with those transits that are coming up.
Wow. Well, that's really exciting. Well, I think we're going to have to sign off, except that I find you've triggered or you've really brought forward a number of things to talk about, to think about, to explore, and instead of being so darn frustrated with the political world right now, you know?
Yeah, just we got to realize that what's going on right now is going to be gone in the not too distant future. That what we're experiencing now, we're having to face things that are very, very uncomfortable and often sad and often tragic in order to get to the other side of this. Mm-hmm. That the old world has to end for the new world to be born. And I feel we're in that in-between cycle. We can still see the pitfalls and the darknesses and the suffering and the problems. We need to understand there is a future that lies ahead that is so much grander and greater than anything that we've ever known before. I think it's important within our hearts and our souls and our minds that we embrace that future.
Yeah, let it be a real groundbreaking episode in the history of mankind, right?
It will. It will be. And it'll happen with or without us. We just have to, I want it to be with me. I want to stay around long enough at least to see the beginning of this.
Me too. Really. Some cheering. Yes. Uh-huh. And even be involved enough to pick up some evolution of our own.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Veronica.
Well, you're a wonderful, wonderful astrologer person, wonderful woman, and I appreciate you so much. And I think people would, too, at home. So tell them how to get hold of you. Yes?
Yes, they can get onto my website, which is you just Google Linda Sherman Astrology or go to Soothsayer, SoothSayer.com. And you can reach me at soothsayer@usa.net. If you're interested in having your chart done, you can reach me through that email. And there's an E in the middle of soothsayer.
That's because you keep people soothing themselves with the reality.
I keep saying we got to soothe ourselves.
Well, tell me this. How often should people have a chart reading? Because I know you can't have you don't want too often, but you want to have them enough to help you see what's going on.
Well, I recommend, particularly if a person, you know, depending on their particular age and stage in life, but they should really have a natal chart analysis to begin with. We have to have a date, time, and place of birth. And you have the natal chart, which gives you a basic outline of your potential throughout your life, the themes and the issues, the talents and the conflicts. And then after that initial reading, a forecast for the coming year. And usually most of my clients have a yearly forecast. They call me once a year and have their forecast or their update done following that. Once you've had the natal chart analyze, and it's usually on some kind of recording, then you have that to work with, but it's the forecast, where the planet's headed in your chart over the coming year, and I usually recommend once a year.
Oh, that sounds great. Also, you know, you said place of birth, and it suddenly hit me, I haven't asked you about this before, but where, like, the earth vibrates a certain way, and where we're born must have a real rapport with our own personal vibrational level. Is that right?
Well, it does. I mean, wherever we landed, wherever our parents, where our mother was when we were born, at that moment, the time is so important. And that you have to get from a hospital birth record. Sometimes it's on your birth certificate, but more often it's on the hospital birth record, which is at the Department of Health, Bureau of Vital Statistics in the state in which you were born. Mm-hmm. Some people, their mothers, or whatever, it was written down in some kind of a book or something, but you've got to have that time and, of course, the location of birth, where you were born.
Yeah, I don't know whether the rapport with the earth itself comes up on that.
Well, yes, there's that connection that you have with that place, that geographic place that you were born. But, I mean, we move all over the place. We move all over the country. We move all over the world. So it's just interesting what that place of origin, what kind of effect that has on you.
Mm-hmm. What kind of toe shoes you have. Well, Linda Sherman, soothsayer.com, you are delightful. I said before how much I really appreciate you. Thank you for being a paradigm shifter.
Well, thank you, Veronica. It's delightful to be on your show.
And me too. So we'll do it again.
Hopefully.
Take care. Bye.